We're back. City Area Radio, last hour. Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. Support the network, folks. I can't believe it's still here, but it's still here. All right. Let me do this real quick. I got offline with my protocols. Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. Protocol 16. This one kind of fits with the Berkeley and Auburn stuff. Protocol 16, emasculation of the universities. Substitute for classicism, training and calling. Advertisement of the authority of the ruler in schools. Abolition of freedom of instruction. In order to effect the destruction of all collective forces except ours, we shall emasculate the first stage of collectivism, the universities, by re-educating them in a new direction. Their officials and professors will be prepared for their business by detailed secret programs of action from which they will not with immunity diverge, not by one iota. They will be appointed with a special precaution and will be so placed as to be wholly dependent upon the government. We shall exclude from the course of instruction state law, as also that concerns the political question. These subjects will be taught to a few dozen of persons chosen for their preeminent capacities from among the number of the initiated. The universities must no longer send out from their halls milksops concocting plans for a constitution like a comedy or a tragedy, busying themselves with questions of policy in which even their own fathers never had any power of thought. The ill-guided acquaintance of a large number of persons with questions of polity creates utopian dreamers and bad subjects, as you can see for yourselves from the example of the universal education in this direction of the Goyim. We must introduce into their education all those principles which have so brilliantly broken up their order. But when we are in power, we shall remove every kind of disturbing subject from the course of education and shall make out of the youth obedient children of authority, loving him who rules as a support and hope of peace and quiet. Classicism, as also any form of study of ancient history in which there are more bad than good examples, we shall replace with the study of the program of the future. We shall erase from the memory of men all facts of previous centuries which are undesirable to us, and leave only those which depict all the errors of the governments of the Goyim. Ah, you see that? The study of practical life, of the obligations of order, of the relations of people one to another, of avoiding bad and selfish examples which spread the infection of evil, and similar questions of an educative nature which stand in the forefront of the teaching program, which will be drawn up on a separate plan for each calling or state of life, in no wise generalizing the teaching. This treatment of the question has special importance. Each state of life must be trained within strict limits corresponding to its destination and work in life. The occasional genius has always managed and always will manage to slip through into other states of life, but it's not the most perfect folly for the sake of this rare occasional genius to let through into ranks foreign to them, to the untalented, who thus rob of their places those who belong to those ranks by birth or employment. Ah, see, they don't want any of us goy having any mobility. You know yourselves and what all this has ended for the Goyim who allowed this crying absurdity. In order that he who rules may be seated firmly in the hearts and minds of his subjects, it is necessary for the time of his activity to instruct the whole nation in the schools and on the marketplaces about his meaning and his acts and all his beneficent initiatives. We shall abolish every kind of freedom of instruction. Learners of all ages will have the right to assemble together with their parents in the educational establishments, as it were in a club. During these assemblies on holy days, teachers will read what will pass as free lectures on questions of human relations, of the laws of examples, of the limitations which are born of unconscious relations, and finally, of the philosophy of new theories not yet declared to the world. These theories will be raised by us to the stage of a dogma of faith as a transitional stage towards our faith. On the completion of this exposition of our program of action in the present and the future, I will read you the principles of these theories. In a word, knowing by the experience of many centuries that people live and are guided by ideas, that these ideas are imbibed by people only by the aid of education provided with equal success for all ages of growth, but of course by varying methods, we shall swallow up and confiscate to our own use the last scintilla of independence of thought, which we have longed for, long past been directing towards subjects and ideas useful for us. The system of bridling thought is already at work in the so-called system of teaching by object lessons, the purpose of which is to turn the goyim into unthinking, submissive brutes, waiting for things to be presented before their eyes in order to form an idea for them. In France, one of our best agents, Bourgeois, has already made public a new program of teaching by object lessons. One of their best agents, Bourgeois. Nice. Anyway, okay, so we talked about this April 26th thing, okay? And the government shutdown, you've seen this floating around, that basically there's going to be this battle. While the Armada approaches North Korea, you're going to have this battle over the budget and shutting, you know, the debt ceiling and all this stuff to see if the government stays operational or not. So Trump orders the area in front of the White House secured. Nobody can come there now. Very interesting. Very interesting. Let's see here. Now, Mr. Producer, get clip 22 ready. I can't not play this one. This has to do with Haiti and the United Nations running sex slave rings there. Okay? Now, just think. Bill and Hillary Clinton had their honeymoon in Haiti. And I had to double-check that, fact-check that, yes. And then there was this child trafficking investigator just killed down there. And there was one of them caught up in the scandal now that works in the sex trade scandal down there, a Clintonista. Now she works for some Amber Alert system. So very weird skullduggery with Haiti, child trafficking. The Clintons had their honeymoon down there. Who the hell would take a honeymoon to Haiti? I mean, weird stuff. Serpent the rainbow type thing here. But let's hit clip 22.
The United Nations peacekeepers ran a sex ring in Haiti. This is disgusting. United Nations peacekeepers in Haiti sexually abused 9 children over a period of 3 years, an Associated Press investigation has found. It's the latest in a long series of sex abuse scandals to plague UN peacekeeping missions worldwide. From 2004 to 2007, 134 peacekeepers from Sri Lanka operated a child sex ring, luring children on the poverty-stricken island with candy and bits of cash, according to the AP. After a UN report incriminated them, most were sent home, but none faced jail time. There is another individual who was involved with Haiti and who also needs to face jail time. That would be Hillary Clinton. One victim told UN investigators, "I did not even have breasts," according to the AP. Over a period of 3 years, beginning when she was just 12 years old, she was forced to have sex with over 50 peacekeepers. 50 peacekeepers. These are supposed to be peacekeepers and keep the peace. Instead, of course, what are they doing? Running a child sex ring. The United Nations is dirty.
And they're militarized. I just go ahead and stop it there. Let's just say, when I was in the military, I was around some United Nations during certain operations. And this is par for the course. Get into the United Nations peacekeepers in Katanga. John Birch Society back in the 90s was really covered, you know, this Katanga massacre. They massacre people. Now, at the same time, I'm going to tell you this. You know, with the whole children thing, I don't know nothing about, but women, like in some of these countries where, you know, it's third world, dirt poor, they're selling themselves like, you know, candy bars too. And so it all kind of cocktails together. I guess you got to be some kind of real creep to want to screw around with kids when grown women are right up the street selling themselves for, you know, whatever. I mean, this stuff is the world, you know, the whole oldest profession thing. But then under the guise of the world's oldest profession, that's where you get the pedo sickos all, I'm telling you, in parts of Asia, it's absolutely insane. Now, Mr. Producer, get clip 21 ready. Major Army Major General James Grazioplane, okay? And this guy, I'm looking at his picture. He was just arrested on, and he was the he was involved with DynCorp and that whole thing. I remember Cynthia McKinney, Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney, roasting Don Rumsfeld over the coals about the government contracts with DynCorp. But this guy, he looks like he could be Michael Aquino's cousin or something. Lieutenant Colonel Michael Aquino from the Temple of Set, the Satanist running all the child rape crap out at the Presidio up in San Francisco, where Feinstein and Pelosi were also from. I wonder if there's any connections with Aquino, Feinstein, or Pelosi. Just putting it out there. I'm wondering. Let's hit clip 21. We got it. Well, while we're waiting for that to play, just let me know if you got it, Mr. Producer. Anyway, Major General James Grazioplane. Now, this other guy, Malcolm Nance, okay, this black guy, now he claims to be an intelligence operative and senior chief in the Navy and all this. Now, he's the black guy that was really giving Milo the hard time on the Bill Maher program that I played a few weeks back. Where basically Milo looked really bad. And if you listen a few weeks back on my program, I played that. Now, Malcolm Nance, he's on MSNBC, the communist Bolshevik, basically, you know, shock troop arm of mainstream media. And so he basically this week said that ISIS should target Trump Tower in Istanbul, Turkey. And we've already covered Turkey pretty ad nauseum. Mr. Producer, were you having problems with that one? I don't know where my producer is. no big deal. Let's do this. I've been wanting to get... Oh, let me get back to this before I get off. All Turkish Christians, Turkish Jews, and non-Muslim refugees living in Turkey need to leave to save themselves from a future Holocaust, Armenian type genocide to be repeated by Erdogan. Absolutely amazing prophecy fulfilling. Erdogan of Turkey brings back the Ottoman scepter that signifies the 10th horn prophesied in the book of the Apocalypse. Now, I didn't know this. Part of this elevation of Erdogan is that he's going to be president for the next 14 years. So double check that. But that's crazy. That's the, and you know, pretty wild. Let's see here. Okay, here we go. Russians hack Democrats' plans to cheat in the general election, too. And so now they're putting out this stuff that basically, another document purportedly stolen by the Russians may have revealed collusion between the former Attorney General Loretta Lynch and the Democrats to ensure Hillary Clinton's victory in the general election. And hence you had the meeting on the tarmac with Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch. I'm sure that there was some serious skullduggery there, knowing the sick kind of political characters the Clinton crime family is, which is a subsidiary of the Bush crime family. And so maybe there was so much collusion that's why MSNBC and all these people were like, oh, it's a 90% 97% shoe-in that Hillary's got this and so forth. And then the almost stunned look on these people's faces to where maybe that there was, and let's say it was clean 100% on the surface and Trump really just won and all of the skullduggery was exposed and they couldn't pull off the heist of the presidency. And so maybe that's why you saw this stunned look of the Rachel Maddows and the rest of these people on election night, because maybe they already heard, hey, it's in the can. It's a shoe-in. We got this. You see what I'm saying? And so maybe, there were so many different theories that floated around out here that the Israelis helped Trump, that, you know, that were hackers in Eastern Europe and all this that helped Trump win and all this. I just thought it was a big enough landslide, and probably they got busted before the heist really happened and they couldn't really pull it off. And then that's how probably Trump got in. Or the other alternative is the deep state gang, the cabal, they had war and economic collapse / reset in the future, and they basically said there's no way that we can have Hillary in place and to even successfully even have a remote chance of carrying this economic reset off and to take us into some military boondoggle in North Korea or Eastern Europe, Ukraine, or something of this nature. So, you know, there's a lot of angles there. Okay. Now, I wanted to get to this one. This is at the Millennium Report. Israel's House of Kushner now runs the Trump administration for the NWO globalist. Mr. Producer, can you hear me? I hope I'm on the air. Anyway, Israel's House of Kushner now runs the Trump administration for the NWO globalists. Is the Zionist neocon cabal using a Kushner blackmail operation to control Trump? Pizzagate criminality can be used to blackmail and or bribe any politician on the planet Earth if they have been compromised. Even if they haven't, the polls can still be controlled by the perps with fabricated evidence, with the CIA and Mossad do all the time. All right. Let's see. Jared Kushner, a suspected gangster within the Trump White House. The preceding report is as radioactive as it gets. This detailed expose needs to be disseminated far and wide before war plans develop beyond a point of no return. Many within the alt-right would especially benefit from this major reality check while they wax philosophical about Trump's rapidly increasing number of war crimes. Yemen, Mosul, Syria, Afghanistan, and one of the callers said I wasn't bringing any clarity last week because I didn't cover Mosul. Well, it's just, when you're in overload, sometimes things fall by the wayside. Unless the American people come to understand the true depth and breadth of the various control mechanisms operating in the Oval Office 24/7, the U.S. government crime spree will only continue. President Trump's audacious war crime committed against Syria with the April 6 missile attack is just the beginning of this new four-year crime spree. A blatant war crime like that can literally trigger World War III. Deep state has been desperately pushing for war because it would be put out of business were it not for the perpetual war economy that keeps it from collapsing. What happened to Donald Trump? Okay, when they're talking about President's Easter week address, and people have said it felt like he was being held hostage, where he really talks about Passover and the Jews and all that for most of the video, and then he follows with it talks about Easter. Okay, and I didn't have time to play that last week, and I don't have time to play it now, but it was Trump's weekly address last week, and it was an Easter week, and basically he talks about 2 or 3 minutes about the Jews leaving Egypt and how great Jews have been for humanity and always persecuted and so forth and so on. Well, we all know that there's another side, and basically, I don't need to go into it. Anyway, It's not so much the content of his address that was concerning, although one would think it was created for the modern state of Israel, not the United States. Rather, it was his never-before-seen and quite peculiar way of projecting his presence. The real $64,000 question is, who is taking control of the POTUS? And a lot of people are going to say this. The POTUS has been controlled the entire time. The whole thing was a acting game. It was, you know, theatrics. He's so used to playing this role on The Apprentice that basically he took talking points from some of his advisors that really had the pulse of America tapped. And so, therefore, the speechwriters crafted it for Trump to play the resurgence of Americana and Alex Jones and, you know, everybody in the alt-right, you know, and everything. And so the whole thing was an act. You know, you're going to have to decide that for yourself. There's something in me that says there's something in Trump that is not 100% completely controlled just by his paying homage to Andrew Jackson, just by his some of the things to do with certain domestic policies and the trade and all of these things. Smacking down TPP right off the flip, trashing the whole climate, you know, change model as a criminal hoax. Now, from what I understand, Ivanka and Jared, that this faction's really trying to move Trump towards going back under this climate change, carbon tax, garbage model of the UN and so forth. And remember, this was the Pope's baby as well, with the encyclical called Laudato Si, which is all about the environment and carbon change and all this other crap. So, you know, Trump's dust up with the Pope concerning the border, and then Scalia gets whacked down there right near the border while the Pope was there, and that whole thing smacked of assassination and real dirty pool down there. Blackmailed by Israel, question mark. There's usually one reason why American presidents commit war crimes, especially in their first term in office. They are blackmailed by Israel for one purpose or another. Things are no different in the case of President Donald Trump. Of course, the rite of passage for every new U.S. president is the commission of a flagrant and unmistakable war crime on behalf of the rogue nation of Israel. Hence, it appears that with the criminal bombing of Syria, the new POTUS has just had his political bar mitzvah. And so, and this is the off of the article called Trump Bombed Syria for Israel. It's now clear that Jared Kushner is acting on behalf of a foreign entity to negatively influence the POTUS. Why? Because it was his wife, Ivanka, according to published reports, who convinced her father to launch a missile attack, blah, blah, blah. Let's see. Only Israel stood to gain so much from such a reckless U.S. war crime because it served the advancement of their extremely misguided Greater Israel project. Even ISIS was emboldened by the missile strikes since they hit the Sheirat air base that was used to defend the Homs province from the advancing rebels and menacing terrorist groups. That President Trump would make such a weighty and ill-advised move in favor of Israel, which would alienate his entire political base, indicates Jared's direct involvement in the decision process. Well, you also had where these missiles hit and the lack of damage, and then the other layer of it being did the Russian S-300, S-400 systems knock out most of them, okay? And so this is real murky here. There's no question that Jared has been given an inordinate amount of power in the Trump White House, just as he was assigned major responsibilities during the post-election transition period and campaign season. Even his Wikipedia page provides an extraordinary list of titles and roles given by Trump that keeps growing. The rapidly evolving situation smacks of an underlying conspiratorial plot. To those in intelligence circles, the various April events reflect all the hallmarks of an ongoing Mossad-directed black operation. Numerous agents of deep state are also acting in concert with Israeli operatives to completely control Trump. If this plot is as organized as it appears to be, then the key point man is Jared Kushner, who was strategically positioned within Trump's own family several years ago in anticipation of conducting such a bloodless coup. How's that for planning ahead? Let's see here. I don't want to cover all this. Let's see. The more power that both Jared and his wife Ivanka accrue in the White House, the more justifiable scrutiny they will both undergo. Naked nepotism such as this is similar to a monarchy where members of the royal family all fill the most powerful positions in the realm. This is why, precisely why George Washington immediately terminated all talk of an American kingship after he was chosen by his peer founding fathers to lead the 13 colonies. However, in the case of Jared Kushner, we have a former zealous Democrat filling all the most important positions throughout the Trump administration, and he appears to be acting on behalf of Zionist Israel in the process. So once again, the barbarians are inside the gates, the White House gates no less. Let's see here. Given that the same covert Zionist neocon leadership has been steering the destiny of the USA for decades, it is imperative that the American people throw off the yoke of Israeli bondage ASAP. Failure to do so will not only result in the eventual debt enslavement, well, we're already there, it will hasten the final demise of the American Republic. Let's see. And then it gets into Jared's 666 building, $1.8 billion, you know, that's another 3x6. Jared's now 36 years old. So you get into some numerology there. And then you get into the basically this real estate deal brokered with the Chinese that allowed young Jared to profit handsomely from the sale of such an overpriced piece of real estate. Let's see here. When Russian state TV says that President Trump is more dangerous than North Korea's Kim Jong-un, you know things are about to get very interesting. Let's see. The narrow gap of separation between Jared Kushner and some of Israel's top gangsters is cause for alarm. This situation became especially acute after it was revealed that Kushner failed to provide all the requested information on his national security questionnaire forms concerning his contacts with foreign persons and interests, and has led to congressional calls for his security clearance to be suspended. Let's see here. Okay. Now, Jared Kushner was basically given his real estate empire by his father. Likewise, Jared was given access to his father's finances sources, political network, and social connections when Charles was in prison. Hence, Jared, and he was put there by Chris Christie, by the way. Hence, Jared has a strong incentive to blame everyone but his father for this crime spree that led to Charles Kushner's ignominious downfall. All the more reason, then, why the true nature of the relationship between father and son must be correctly understood. There's a great likelihood that Charles has used some of the same tactics which got him into trouble on Jared, turning a blindly loyal son into a political Trojan horse sent into the Trump campaign as a cinch for a character like Charles. Well, Charles and Trump's father, I believe, were actually buddies as well. So this goes deeper. And then this character named Bunny Lindenbaum up here with Trump's father. So Trump's father had some Chabad Lubavitch connections, while Don was a kid. And so this is like second generation kind of, you know, skullduggery going on, okay? So anyway, that's a pretty good article. Now, this other article is Trump bomb Syria for Israel. But it gets deeply into pedogate, and it gets into deeper into the control of basically Kushner and the Chinese and this Fifth Avenue property and so forth and so on. I'm not going to get all into that. Mr. Producer, can you hear me? Okay, good. Oh, okay, because we missed a break, and I thought you had a heart attack on me or something. All right, so we're good. All right, so we're back. Now, let's get into this. Mr. Producer, get clip 11 ready, okay? Now, this is X-22 report, Dave. Now, he's going to get into this. He's trying to say that Trump is, and I was listening to Dr. Parker's program today, and he still thinks that there's so much going on under the surface that Trump is trying to do so many things to turn back this evil behemoth that has stifled our country and the planet. And so there's people out here, and there's a lot of them on YouTube that still think that there's this battle going on under the surface, and Trump's still a good guy, and there's still some benevolent qualities to Trump. I'm not going to condemn Trump yet. He's done a lot of things that really pissed me off, especially hitting Syria, which is first and foremost. The Moab, that's bad too, because that was just like a, you know, this whole, you know, raining down bombs, you know, on countries, it's got to stop sometime, just out of the blue. But let's hit clip 11, Mr. Producer. Oh, wow. All the web. So the producer's telling me that for some reason, all the web pages down there in Texas just disappear. So you can't. So all my videos. Wow. Okay. No problem. Now. Okay. Just let me know when you can get anything back, if you can. Now. And I'm hearing myself in the background. Okay, you got it. Okay. I wanted to get into this real quick, and I got clips, but I can actually kind of talk about it and read about it as well. Now, there's two things going on here with these power grid failures, okay? One of them is saying that it's basically this massive kind of solar space storm, geomagnetic space storm that struck our planet, crippling many large cities, showed the extreme liability inherent. Mr. Producer, could you turn the feedback down on my end? I'm hearing a lot of stuff from your end. Other people are saying that this is in preparation for this Operation Gotham Shield, where basically they're going to simulate some sort of a nuke going off over the city of New York. Okay? And, you know, Washington is very close. If you look at the map, you know, this eastern seaboard, Philly, New York, Washington, Boston, they're all really clustered pretty close together. So, if, you know, if an EMP slash nuke went off above the city of New York, how far would it affect? 12 miles, 25? None of us really knows that whole EMP angle. So you're getting a kind of a hybrid story here. Now, let's see. Okay, good, good. Okay, so we got the videos back. Let's go to clip 11, and this is about Trump, and basically kind of a reverse angle where Trump is doing things under the surface to basically throw us off, but he's still really, you know, a patriot sleeper cell. Go ahead and hit clip 11.
All along, the deep state, the neocons, the central bankers, they have been planning for war, and they want war to cover up this economic collapse. The problem is, we would have been already in war if Hillary Clinton was elected. We know that because we could see this is where we were headed. Trump was elected, and the corporate media, the state, the central bank, all came out and said, holy crap, how did he get elected? And they started their campaign to try to get rid of him. And it looks like they were having a very difficult time. They were trying to push, and he was pushing from the other side, and there was a battle going on. And this is when Trump and the others who want a complete change decided to change tactics. Now, a lot of people can't see this. Now, many people say that he's part of the deep state. He's with the dark side. Now, if we do go to war, well, we know right there and then, well, guess what? He is part of the deep state. He's with the dark side, and we're at war. At that point, is it really going to matter at this point? No, because we're going to see missiles flying above us, and it's going to be a complete disaster. But what's very interesting is the tactics that he's using right now. And these are the certain indicators that we're looking at right now. Remember yesterday when we talked about the aircraft carriers, where when we checked on them, they weren't really doing what the corporate media was telling us they were doing. Now, the corporate media has this incredible way of just believing the government. They get the information. We've seen this in the past with Obama and all the other presidents, where they get the information from the government and they just print it. They just put it out there and they say, this is what's happening. Like it's fact. Trump realized this. And if you notice, the corporate media is going along with all the propaganda, where the USS Carl Vinson is on its way, the Ronald Reagan is on its way, the USS Nimitz is on its way, and we're going into North Korea. And again, as we see, the propaganda from the corporate media is out there. Bloomberg put out an article that Korea was launching missiles into China. I mean, that is very, very dangerous. But what happened was the corporate media, maybe they were listening to alternative media, where they heard that, wait a minute, the USS Carl Vinson, or maybe they did some investigation, which is pretty unlikely. They got information that the USS Carl Vinson really wasn't en route to North Korea, like the White House said or the Pentagon said, wherever they got their information. And the Pentagon, the White House, had to come out and explain away why this wasn't really happening. And at this point, we can see that they are in the process of feeding them propaganda to get them to do what they want. Because as we checked, we can see none of these ships are doing what they say. But the corporate media is out there saying that this is what's happening. So we can see there's a huge game going on right now. And Russia, China, and the U.S., those in the Trump administration, those individuals, they are all working together. And they're creating this entire covert operation to trap the deep state and to get rid of them once and for all. Now, it's hard to believe. It's very difficult to understand. But we can see right now how he is playing them. Right now, China is saying that there's a high probability that something might happen between April 25th and May 9th. Now, China says that there's a pattern, and it suggests provocation as early as 2 weeks before the South Korean presidential election on May 9th, that this two-week window overlaps with North Korea's Military Foundation Day on April 25th. This is why they're picking this time frame, that something might occur. And it looks like they might be setting up the deep state for this. Because as we know, if there is a missile that is fired and it shoots down a missile that North Korea may can get in the air, if they can even get one in the air, well, this is going to really start something. Now, is that going to be enough to start World War III? No. What I think is going to happen is we're at this point in time where the deep state is very desperate. Russia, China, the administration here in the United States, they are planning to set up the corporate media, planning to set up the deep state, and they want to trap them. They want to weed them out and to trap them in what is going on here. And this is why he's playing.
You can stop it there, but you're getting the gist of it. That would be nice if what he's talking about there is actually the truth. A lot of people are way too pessimistic. What the reality on the ground is, you or I or my board operator or anybody listening or anybody running a radio network, they don't know. Let me tell you that. None of us actually know the reality on the ground. Now, here's another one from the same guy. Mr. Producer, let's hit clip 12.
Trump is pushing the agenda to collapse the economy. I know many people are like, no, he's not doing this. No, Yes, he is. He is definitely getting prepared and ready to bring this down. He looked at the U.S. economy just like he looks at his businesses. He knows when things are done here. He knows that it's time to bring it down. And we are getting indicators that he's starting to do this, where he already told the Fed, because they're raising interest rates and they want a strong dollar, he's saying the opposite. I believe that interest rates that are lower and a weaker dollar would be better. So he's telling the Fed that I want the opposite now. He's also telling the Fed, print as much as you possibly can. Now, if the Fed starts to print more money, QE, this is going to be negative for the stocks and positive for gold. That's going to be very interesting because he's starting to switch all of this. Now, what happens if Trump bullies the Fed into accepting his higher growth rates, which he achieved by boosting government spending and borrowing billions? Could it happen in the first place? Well, yes, it could, because in the 70s, Richard Nixon bullied the Fed into printing money so that he could win the 1972 election. It can happen because it happened. Now, Wall Street would wobble and the stock market most likely would fall, and gold will probably shoot up. Now, on January 17th, 2017, the Wall Street Journal published an article in which Trump stated point blank that the U.S. dollar is too strong. Now, we talked about this before, and the U.S. currency took note, falling over 1% that day, bringing it to a critical support. And the Fed, well, they had different plans. They hiked the interest rates. They're going to hike it many more times in 2017. And the U.S. dollar reclaimed this line and has since maintained it. So last week, Trump struck again, this time tweeting, the U.S. dollar is too strong. And we can see right now that Trump wants a lower U.S. dollar. And it's also obvious that he's trying to basically do the opposite of what the Fed is doing right now. Because we know what the Fed is doing. It's raising the interest rates because they're getting prepared to collapse the economy. He also sees that the economy needs to be collapsed and it has to be completely restarted because there's no way out of this whatsoever. And this is why he's doing the opposite of what the Fed wants. And as he brings the dollar lower, as he wants the Fed to print more currency, as the Fed raises interest rates, well, what's going to happen to gold? Well, if Trump continues to push the U.S. dollar lower, gold will only perform even better. Look what's happened in the last 3 days, where we've seen thousands of contracts thrown at gold. These are derivative contracts. They cannot bring gold down like they did before, where they used to drop $30, $40, $50, and each one should have brought gold down $30, $40, $50 to bring it back to the level probably around $1,100 or so. It didn't work. Now, as he continually pushes for a lower dollar, gold is going to continually rise. Now, the central bank, those who are trying to control the gold market, the precious metals market, they're going to continually try to dump more contracts. But people are going to see this and they're going to say, okay, what is going on here? The dollar is decreasing. They're continually throwing contracts at gold. Something is happening right now. Let's just buy gold just in case. Now, we can see right now that gold will then start to move up. So this is what we're looking at from this point on how gold does. Will it maintain the upward trend? And will Trump continually lower the dollar right now while the Fed raises the rates? Because all of this is going to end up in a collapse scenario. And we can see both sides are playing each other because they know it's time to bring down the economy. The Fed wants to bring it down. They want to bring it down orderly. Trump wants to bring it down. He wants to bring it down orderly. And they want to blame each other. And this is the battle right now that's going on. But the positive out of all this, as the economy is falling and the dollar is weakening, gold is going to be moving up. Silver is going to be moving up. And they're going to eventually lose control of this.
So very wild speculations here. Wilbur Ross is Commerce Secretary, Rothschild guy. And so this kind of surface thing about Trump being at war with the central bank and Janet Yellen and the Fed and so forth, cosmetic. with Wilbur Ross, and then all the Goldman guys around him, Gary Cohn, and all these characters, Mnuchin. You know, you're gonna have to make that decision as well. Now, this might be fake news. Okay, Mr. Producer, get clip 18 ready. This started to break on all over YouTube. But right when I was gonna, you know, get the show together. And so let me put a disclaimer. This could be completely fake news, but it's still worth listening to. And it would be nice if it was true. I'm not saying it is, because I doubt it, because Obama's supposed to be speaking at like the University of Chicago about community organizing in the next few days. He's back from his long hiatus trip in Tahiti, away from extradition and all this stuff. But let's hit clip 18 for some fun. It could be fake. Go ahead.
A search warrant was just served at the Obama residence just after dawn in the quiet Tracy Street neighborhood of Washington, D.C. The FBI and NSA served a warrant at the Obama's post-presidential rental mansion. The house, fortified with 10-foot walls and guard stations for Secret Service officers, serve as Obama's residence in Washington and allegedly as the headquarters for the deep state shadow government. The warrant, which would have had to be been issued by a federal judge for federal agents to be involved, is for the search and seizure of any and all documents, hard drives, or correspondence relating to national security not officially represented to the former president during his security briefings. Essentially, the FBI and NSA are alleging that there are shady dealings going on inside the house that has been the center of controversy since Paul Ryan, John McCain, Lindsey Graham, and Dr. Ben Carson were all seen entering the house for secret meetings, presumably to down President Trump. If secrets are being revealed to keep Obama in power as a player in Washington, D.C., and the warrant roots them out, a lot of people are going to be in a lot of trouble. This is a developing story, and we'll keep you up to date.
Yeah, okay, go ahead and stop it. You know, I saw this in a few YouTubers, and I didn't have time to dig around, so that could be fake. I'm putting the disclaimer out there, but wouldn't it be nice? And you talk about civil war. You talk about the Antifa weirdos and the black nationalists coming out. Let's see here. I got to get to some of this. Mr. Producer, get clip 19 ready. This is by the Rebel Media, and it's one of the black guy that works for him, obviously. And this about this Mr. Muhammad that shot the three people, and then people are saying it's a hoax. I haven't had time to see this RBG, red, black, and green, rich bitch gang, ruthless blood gang. Who knows who this guy was clicked up with? I was trying to look the RBGs, but go ahead and hit clip 19 real quick.
Another day, another shooting. This shooting was done in downtown Fresno, California by a black Muslim man, surprise, surprise, who killed three white males solely because he hated whites. So this was a hate crime. Make no mistake, no matter what the mainstream media might tell you about this specific story, this was a hate crime. You see, guys, there was a warrant out for his arrest for a prior incident of him shooting a motel security guard. After he discovered that there was a warrant for his arrest because he murdered somebody, he just decided to murder more people. And not just any people, but white people, because he's a racist. He grabbed a gun, went downtown, looked around for people, and then killed white males while screaming Allah Akbar. He surrendered to the police the moment they surrounded him, because to him, this wasn't really about escaping the police. This was more about killing white males and making a statement. There are many dimensions to the story that I could talk about, like the fact that he's a black nationalist, so much to analyze. But just by judging by this man's YouTube account and Facebook page, the man isn't very intelligent to begin with. He thinks blacks ran Egyptian civilization. He has a bunch of random black inspirational quotes on his Facebook wall. He claims that his job is being an RBG, black nationalist CEO warrior. The dude's Facebook profile pic is him of his mixtape. So he's basically equivalent to one of those losers you see out on the streets handing you their latest mixtape. And finally, his YouTube channel is full of terrible, and I mean terrible, rap songs and rap music videos. They are by far the most cringe music videos I've ever seen.
You gon' need me before I need you. You gon' need me, you gon' need me.
It's been 4 years at the penitentiary, and I've been thugging, motherfucker, it ain't nothing. So now fuck around and push the wrong button. I'm that brother that a baka baka, a black I'll claim up your block, and bro, they like gives a fuck or not.
This is a man who calls himself Black Jesus, by the way. Obviously, he isn't an engineer or a doctor. He's not a productive member of society, but if that was it, if that was just the case, I wouldn't care so much about his Facebook or YouTube channel.
All right, you can stop it there. We'll see you guys at the... We going to break, Mr. Producer? Okay, I heard the music. All right, so you can leave that there, but you heard the terrible raps. I guess they targeted him to lock him up just because he's that bad of a rapper. But anyway, so let's see here. We got to get into this. I got about 9 minutes left. Now, we all know Alex Jones had his big custody battle. He's been out all week. Paul Joseph Watson's was in town in Austin, and you know he had to bring in some heavy guns, I guess he would call it, to take care of the show while he was out. And so, but basically, we all know that basically his lawyers took the performance actor or artist kind of angle in his defense, that you know his ex is saying he's a loon, basically, and so therefore. His legal team said, well, he's a performance artist. He does this stuff, blah, blah, blah. Well, here's Jones basically right, you know, trying to kind of encode to the audience. Most of them probably don't even know what was going on, but he was trying to basically blunt, you know, this criticism. And so let's hit clip nine. We got it.
Coming up. But first off, they love to brand this as fake news, or the media loves to attack me and say he dresses up in lizard suits like Gwore, or whatever the name of the guy is from the Star Trek episode, the famous one where he's fighting Captain Kirk. And then the news asks me, are you serious? And I say, that's satire. I'm being an actor acting like I'm a space alien that wants to exterminate the population of the Earth, trying to sell you on taking vaccines. I don't actually believe that the Star Trek character is real. Then they go, oh my gosh, Alex Jones is fake. He says he's an actor. Look, he was in Scanner Darkly and he was in Waking Life. They think you're completely stupid and they think you're completely mentally ill. If I put a top hat on and play the part of the head of Goldman Sachs saying, I'm screwing you over, I love the mega banks, I'm going to rob you, world government's good, I'm illustrating how George Soros and other people think of you. I don't literally believe that. The times that I put on clown makeup and played the part of the Joker saying, drink your fluoride water and take your vaccines, is you're going to see pretty colors, kids. People got freaked out and said, oh, my gosh, you're not for real.
Okay, go ahead and stop it there, Mr. Producer. Now, go ahead and get clip 10 ready. Now, this was Rob Dew, one of his main guys, put this one together. But basically, to kind of make the case that Alex does do performance art, to try to kind of like, you know, make his legal defense legitimate, but through the program to the audience. Go ahead and hit clip 10.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Leanne. We're going to play a report for you now. It is the top 10. You'll find this on Infowars.com as well. Alex Jones, top 10 performance art characters. Here's a compilation of what he's done over the years.
Alex Jones has been fighting tyranny, government corruption, and the lying mainstream media since the mid-1990s. He is a syndicated radio talk show host who has pioneered streaming video over the web, and his websites and YouTube channels have unbelievable reach. Recently, MSM Talking Heads went crazy with the report that Alex Jones is a performance artist and actor, and thus everything he has ever reported on must be considered fake news.
His lawyer is arguing that Alex Jones is playing a character and is a performance artist.
And there is some truth to the first part of this statement. He was an actor in two groundbreaking Richard Linklater animated films. The first was Waking Life. The scene with Alex driving through the town with a car-mounted bullhorn warning people to wake up is considered by many to be a highlight of the film.
I don't know about you, but I'm concerned with what's happening in this world. I'm concerned with the structure. I'm concerned with the systems of control. Those that control my life and those that seek to control it even more.
The second, based on the Philip K. Dick dystopia novel, A Scanner Darkly, once again depicts Alex with a bullhorn warning people of the dangers of a new drug being pushed by the government, who is then tased and thrown into a car by some global love cops.
It's time to realize that we're being enslaved.
He also played an evil senator in the independent film Warning of EMP Dangers, Armageddon.
That man's a threat to this country.
All three of these are listed in his IMDb account as acting credits, but he also has 17 credits for documentary films he produced, ranging in subjects from the police state using paid rioters at the WTC in 1999 to 9/11, the OKC bombing.
Ahead, stop it there, Mr. Producer. You get it. It's just interesting the way the operation, with the legal things going on, with the custody battle with the kids and the ex, and the angle that the legal team takes as blah, blah, blah. And then you see him and then some of his employees, making the case for him on the air, which, I'm not going to say one thing or the other. Mr. Producer, let's get, we might as well get this one out of the way. Let's get clip two, the new MasterCard with the sensor for your fingerprint. We're going Mark of the Beast real quick here. And, think about the collapse, folks. Think about this economic reset. What do you think's going to be on the heels of it? The implantable devices in the Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, and then the economic reset of the economy. You think it's going to be paper money, or do you think it's going to be digital, and do you think it's going to be implanted? People all over the world getting implanted. Sweden, India, weird stuff. Let's hit clip two.
We now have MasterCard rolling out a payment card that features a fingerprint sensor. They're saying that they have tested this in trials successfully in South Africa. And they're saying that this technology works the same way as it does with mobile phone payments. They're saying that the user must have their finger over the sensor when making the purchase. Now, this is going right along the lines of, well, if you look at this next image, you can see that the chip is already in this.
All right, go ahead and stop that there. And one more thing with the nuclear exchange possibly on the horizon, Mr. Producer, get clip four ready. Operation Neptune Falcon right here in Missouri, Whiteman Air Force Base, just outside of Kansas City, the B-2 stealth bomber base. That's what's going to be dropping the nukes, folks. Let's hit clip four.
I wanted to share with you guys here a little bit of footage of this exercise Neptune Falcon that involved a bunch of stealth bombers. This was taking place in Missouri at Whiteman Air Force Base. See here on a map, it is located right here in Kansas City, St. Louis, and it's situated right in this region right here. And footage has these things going to take off and run some of these drills in the area. Now, there had been reports of bombers in the skies. People were witnessing this, even in New Mexico and in Kansas. But I wanted to share some of this footage with you guys and let it be known that if you're seeing bombers in the skies in these areas, it could be a part of exercises they're holding coming from Missouri at this base. Now, this footage was taken on April 20th. So if you guys see anything like this out there, let me know, dabu7@yahoo.com.
All right, you can stop it there, and I know we're coming up to the end of the show. So think about it, folks. We got a lot coming at us this week. To get apprehensive or freak out, it's just a waste of energy. I was going to play this one, but basically this guy, old retired guy, fewer weapons, more ammo. And he's talking about pairs of calibers and interchangeability. Okay, like he's talking about him and his wife. They both got 9mm. They both got 22s. They both got 20 gauges. They both got, you know, these various platforms. But fewer weapons, more ammunition. Okay, I know guys, gun nuts that I've worked with. These clowns got enough to field a platoon. I'm talking numerous AKs, numerous ARs, numerous 308s, enough handguns to send a street gang out like Vikings. But what are they going to do with all of them when it hits the fan and they don't have that many friends? They become a liability. They become weight. So I wanted to end the show with that. Fewer weapons, more ammo, and then interchangeability and pairing up calibers for you and yours. You got nines, your kids got 9mm. You got 40s, your kids got 40s. You got 22s, your buddy's got 22s. You got AR-15s. You know, your circle's got AR-15s. So that's what I wanted to leave you guys with. I know the show's over. Mr. Producer, take us out with the last clip, the last song. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Hope you're here next week.